पश्याम सर्वे वयम परा मात्रा प्रशास्तु लोकेया शीतोष्णा सुख दुर्गदा आत्मा पायिनो निद्यास आदिशस्त भारत नियते वा कदाचि नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूय अजो नित्य शाश्वत पुराण नान्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे ज्ञायतो विषयान् मुञ्च संगस्तेषु प्रजायते संगात् संजायते काम कामात् क्रोधो विजायते क्रोधात् भवति सम्मोह सम्मोहात् सद्विद्रमः सद्विद्रंश्चात् बुद्धिनाशो बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति ज्ञात्वात् कर्मणोऽन्यत्र लोकोऽयं कर्मबन्धना तदर्थं कर्म कौन्तेय मुक्तसङ्गः समाचर यदाधिधर्मस्य ज्ञानं भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानमधर्मस्य तदात्मानं सुजाम्यहं परित्राणाय साधूनां विनाशाय च दुश्रिता धर्मसंस्थापनार्थाय सम्भवामि युगे युगे कर्म च मे दिव्यम् एवं यो वेत्ति तर्कतः त्यक्त्वा एनं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुनम् यज्ञतपसा सर्वलोकामहेश्वरं सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिरिच्छति योगिनामपि सर्वेषां मद्गतेनान्तरात्मना श्रद्धावान् भजते यो मां समेकतमो मतः बहूनां जन्मनामन्ते ज्ञानवान् मां प्रपद्यते वासुदेवः सर्वमिति समात्मा सुदुर्लभा अन्तकाले च मामेव स्मरन् मुक्त्वा कलेवरं य प्रयाति समद्भावं यापि नास्त्यत्र संशयः मन्मनाभवमद्भक्तो मद्याजी मां नमस्कुरु मामेवैश्वेवम् आत्मा मत्परायणः अहं सर्वस्य प्रभो मत्तः सर्वं प्रवर्तते इति मत्वा भजन्ते मां बुधा भावसमन्विता मच्चित्तमद्गतः प्राणा बोधयन्तः परस्परं कथयन्तस्य मां नित्यं तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च तेषां यन्तानां भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं ददामि बुद्धियोगमतं येन मामुपयान्ति हे तेषामेवानुकम्पार्थम् आज्ञानदन्तमः नाशयामि आत्मभावस्तु ज्ञानदीपेन भाष्वत मत्कर्म गृह्मत्परमो मद्भक्तसङ्गवर्जितः निर्वैर्यः सर्वभूतेषु य समामेति पाण्डवं मय्यावेशमनो ये मां नित्ययुक्ता उपासते श्रद्धया परयोपेतास् ये मे प्रतमानुता उपत्रश्चानुमन्ता च भक्ता भोक्ता महेश्वर परमात्मेति चाकीर्तो देहेऽस्मिन् पुरुषः परः भव्यविचारेण भक्तियोगेन सेवते सगुणान् समतीर्थेतान् ब्रह्मभूयाय कल्पते यो मामेव सम्मूढो जानाति पुरुषोत्तमं स सर्ववित् भजति मां सर्वभावेन भारत सर्वधर्मान् परित्यज्य मामेकं शरणं व्रज मां त्वां सर्वपापेभ्यो मोक्षयिष्यामि मा सुत यत्र योगेश्वर विष्णु यत्र पार्थो धनुर्धर तत्र श्रीविजयो भूते युवानी निर्मति मम
So we were in the 8th chapter and we finished the first 4 verses. Arjuna's questions and Krishna's answer to those questions. So what are Arjuna's questions? Anybody remember all the 7 questions? 6 plus 1. Last time we asked you to memorize them. because that's one of the sure shot questions. Only the first one. Brahman. What is Brahman? Second one.
Adhyatma.
Third. Karma.
Adibhuta.
Adidaiva. Adiyajna. So these are the six. And what is this? Our last one, the seventh one. How can one think of Krishna at the time of death? That is the seventh question. So, 8th chapter, 1st verse. And why Arjuna asks these terms only, these questions? Why does Arjuna ask these questions only? Why? Why does he ask this question? Because Krishna at the end of the 7th chapter uses these terms. So when he uses these terms at the end of the 7th chapter, Arjuna could not understand what these terms actually mean. So that is why Krishna, Arjuna, he asks these questions. Says, Kim tat brahma atma adhyatam kim karma purushottama adibhutam cha kim proktam adidevam kim uchate. So what do these six things mean? Kim tat brahma, kim adhyatma, kim karma purushottama adibhutam cha kim prokta. So what is adibhuta, what is adideva? These are the six questions. Now what is Brahman? How does Krishna explain Brahman? What is the meaning of Brahman? Yes.
Indestructible.
Indestructible. Aksharam Brahma Param. Aksharam. What is the meaning of Akshara? Akshara means, we know it as alphabet.
Sound.
Yeah, sound. Aksharam Brahma Param. Last time I told, what is the meaning of Brahman? Anybody knows? Meaning of Brahman. Meaning. Here it means Akshara, but what is the meaning? Anybody in the back? Yeah. Brahman has got its root word from on what?
Brihat.
Brihat means what?
Something great.
Something great. There is only one student here. So everybody should answer. Brihat means something great. Brihat is the root word of Brahman. So, Brahman means Aksharam. So here, Brahman refers to what? Does it refers to the Supreme Lord, the living entity or the material nature? Which one does it represent? The living entity. So this Brahman is addressed to all three. So there are three kinds of Brahman. What are the three kinds of Brahman? What are the three kinds of Brahman? Jada Brahman, Jiva Brahman, Para Brahman. So Jiva Brahman, Jada Brahman, Para Brahman. So here, Brahman refers to what? The living being. We are all living entities. It refers to living being. Aksharam Brahma Brahman. And what is the nature? Swabhava. Swabhava means what? Nature. What is the nature of the living entity? Adhyatma. Adhyatma is the nature of the living entity. What is the nature of the living entity? Satchitananda, you heard about it. So that is the nature of the living entity. And Svabhavo Adhyatma Uchate Bhuta Thavo Bhavakaro Karma Sanyitaha. What is the meaning of karma? What is the meaning? Yes? What? Recycle of birth and death. The cycle of birth and death, that is called karma. No. The thing which forces you to take birth again is called karma. Now you ask a question to yourself. When a person dies, the soul leaves this body and goes to another body. Now we generally ask this question, which body will the soul go? Now ask another question here. Why should the soul go to the other body? Why? Why should accept another body? What is the reason? Because there is some residual karma left. I have done something good or bad and I have yet to experience them. They are still left. Karmic reactions are yet to be experienced. For that, you have to be given a body. Without this body, you cannot experience karma. That is why bhuta bhava karo karma. So karma means the thing which forces you to take birth in the next life. That is called karma. Okay. Nisarga karma. Adibhutam charo bhavo. What is this adibhuta? Adibhuta means this body. Kshara means something which is going to be destroyed. So in our body we have this body as well as the soul. So this body never destroys and soul never destroys. So adibhuta means this body. And purushas tadidevikaha. Who is that adideva? Is a Purusha or the universal cosmic manifestation of Supreme Lord. And Adiyajna, who is this Adiyajna? Ahamevatra. The Lord Himself in everybody's heart as Paramatma is Adiyajna. Dehe Devgutam Varaha. Oh Arjuna, who is the greatest among all the embodied living entities. So we have six things and six answers. So this is a definite question for you all. What are the six things? First one is Brahman. Second one is? Tell. Adhyatma. Second, third one, Karma. Adibhuta. Adi Vyajnam. And? Adideva. So out of the six, what is Brahman? The living entity. Next is Adhyatma, the nature of the living entity. Third, Karma means the thing which makes you take birth again. And the fourth one, Adi Yajna, who is he? A super soul. And Adi Deva, who is he? Who is Adi Bhuta? The body. So we have all the six points and six questions. Clear? Now, how to leave this body at the time of death? What happens at the time of death and how to leave this body? All these things are explained starting from 5 to 9. How one should leave this body? This is the only sure thing which is going to happen in everybody's life, that is leaving the body. You may become an engineer or a doctor. You may stay in Bombay, you may stay in America. There may be, this is all maybe. Can happen, may not happen. May happen, may not happen. But one thing which is surely going to happen, what is it? That's death. So how are we supposed to die? You should know how to do everything. You should know how to die also, because death is also something which you are going to experience, which you are going to face. So Krishna says in these verses, 5 to 9, how to face death. Antakale cha mameva smaram. Fifth verse. Antakale cha mameva smaram. Mukva kalevaram. Ya prayati matvavam yadunastitta samshaya. What does it say? Antakale cha means the time of death. Mameva smaram. One who thinks of me at the time of death. Mukva kalevaram. When he gives us this body, he doesn't come back. Mahupetya, he comes directly to me. Ya prayadi sa madhavam yadi yastatra samshaya. There is no doubt, no samshaya, my dear Arjuna, that when somebody thinks of me at the time of death, he is definitely going to complain. What is the famous story regarding this? Yes, Ajamil's story. How he started thinking of Krishna. Actually, he was thinking of his son, chanted the name of Narayan. So here, when people ask this question, how can Ajamil go get attain liberation.
Just by chanting Krishna's name.
How is it possible just by chanting Krishna's name?
Hare Krishna. How is it possible? Simply chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare. It's very easy, correct?
Yeah. It feels
very easy for the devotees. Very difficult for the non-devotees. This is our Bhaktivinoda Pali. Everybody gives systematic teaching on Bhagavad Gita. What's the subject?
Eight chapter.
Do you all know Bhakti Prabhuji? Some of you must be knowing. Bhakti is a wonderful devotee. Sanjay. Sorry.
So, how is it? Ajamil was thinking of his son and how did he get attain perfection? So here we have to know that after Ajamil was came in touch with the Vishnudutas, Ajamil was given another birth, another opportunity in Haridwar. So there he perfected his life by further doing sadhana bhakti. And then he had darshan of Ananta, etc., etc. So Antakale Chimamayaswaram Uttva Kalyavarniya Prayati Madhbhavam Yatnaasthi Prasam. Now Krishna says, if you don't remember me, if you don't remember me, what happens? You remember somebody else or something else. Ultimately you have to think of somebody or something. If you don't remember Krishna, you think of somebody else. So then Krishna says, Yam Yam Vami Swaram Bhavam Chidityanti Kalyavaram Tantam Yavitkonte Sadalam Bhavam. Whatever thing you think at the time of death, you will attain the same bhava. What is a perfect example for this? Bharat Maharaj. You know the story of Bharat Maharaj? He was a great king. This land is called Bharat Varsha because of this king called Bharata. So, he gave up his kingdom at a very young age. Because he was so advanced in devotional service, he was not at all attached to any materialistic activity. He went to the forest and alone 24 hours he was engaged in Krishna consciousness. And what happened one day? There was a deer which was pregnant and a lion came. Because of the fear of the lion, the deer jumped. When it jumped, what happened is because of the pressure and the force of jump, it gave birth to the baby deer and he fell in water and died. The baby deer was there lying on the ground and nobody to take care of the baby deer. So what did Bharat Maharaj think? So let me go and then take care of the baby deer. Once it becomes a little bit old and it is able to stand on its own leg, then baby deer can go. I will take care of it. So he started taking care of the baby deer and gradually as days went by, this Bharata became very attached to this baby deer. As the time went by, became so attached that he was standing again looking back whether the baby deer was there or not. When he's doing puja again and again looking whether everything is properly, you know, it's okay or not. He was so affectionate for this. And one day this baby deer did not come back home. It was going around in the jungle. And there was a thunderstorm and so many miraculous and horrible things were going on in the forest. Then Bharata thought, what is going to happen to my deer? He started running like a madman. And he fell down one place and died. So when he died, he was thinking of the deer. What happened in the next life? He became a deer again. So he became a deer again. So, antakale cha mameva svaram mukva kalevaram. If you don't think of Krishna, if you think of anything else, you're definitely going to become a saint. That is what Krishna says in the 6th verse. Then in the 7th verse, Krishna says, oh my dear Arjuna, so that is the danger of not thinking of me at the time of death. Now the problem here is, you are going to die any time. So that is why be always prepared. That is why he says, 7th verse, tasmat means that is why. Sarveshu kaleshu means all times, constantly, think of me. At the same time, you do your duty of fighting. Tasmat sarvesh kalyeshu mam anusmara yuddhacharya. Mai arpita mano buddhi. By offering your mind and intelligence to me, mai arpita mano buddhi, mame vaishu sasamshaya, you will definitely come back. So tasmat sarvesh kalyeshu, that is very important. That is why always, remember, you should always think of me and fight, and then you will definitely come back to me. So, abhyasa yogyuktena chetasa namigamina param purusham divyam partha anchintayan. So in this verse, the 8th verse, 8th chapter, Krishna talks about anuchintayan. Anuchintayan means continuously you can think of me. And how you should think of me? You should think of me as param purusham divyam. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanigamina param purusham. You should think of me not as the impersonal Brahman, not as something else. You should think of me as I am standing before you, as a Purusha, as a person. So one should think of Krishna as a person, his pastimes, his qualities. So there are so many aspects of Krishna consciousness which are related to Krishna which you can think of 24 hours. One may think about the beauty of Krishna. One may think about the qualities of Krishna. One may think about the pastimes of Krishna. One can think what Krishna, what is the dress which Krishna is wearing today. One can think about the instructions which Krishna gives. And so many aspects. Actually, a pure devotee is always 24 hours thinking of Krishna. So this abhyasa, or we have to train our mind to think of Krishna always. You know the famous story which I always tell in the Bhagavad Gita, of course? Like how a businessman told the sadhu, oh, I think at the time of death. And he changed the name of the four children. And the time came and he was supposed to die. He wanted to think about, he thought about his business. So, we cannot trust when the death is going to come. Not only just death, we cannot even trust our mind. So that is why Krishna says abhyasa. Abhyasa means practice. So by practice you train your mind so that it can think of Krishna always. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa. And he uses this word na anya gamina. Na anya gamina means the mind should not divert to any other thing other than Krishna. And it requires training. The whole Krishna consciousness process is just to train our mind so that it can think of Krishna. All the rules and regulations we follow is nothing but a systematic procedure by which we can train our mind to think of Krishna always. That is why the Padma Purana says, Sartavya Sartam Vishnur Vispartavya Jatache Sarve Vidhi Nishayasya Yetayore Vatintara Sartavya Sartam Vishnur. Always think of Krishna. And Vispartavya Jatache, Vispartavya is never forgetting. And all the rules and regulations are meant for this one purpose. All rules and regulations meant for this one purpose. What is it? To think of Krishna always and never forget. So that is why Krishna says, abhyasa yogyuktena chetasa nanigamina. Now you say, okay, I want to think of this person, but how can I think of a person? What are the aspects of a person which I should think about? Now in the 9th verse, Krishna says, you should think about me as Kavim. These are the qualities in Krishna with which a devotee always thinks about. Kavim. Kavim means who is very learned, most knowledgeable. Puranam, he is the most oldest person. Anushashitaram, he is the supreme controller. Kavim Puranam Anushashitaram Anoraniyamsham. And he is there in every part, every atom. Anusmaredhyaha, one who thinks about Krishna constantly in these ways. Anusmaredhyaha. Sarvasya Dhadaram, he is the person who is holding the whole material existence, material and spiritual existence. Sarvasya Dhadaram, Achintya Rupam, He has got an inconceivable form. Sarvasiddhātāra vachitya rūpam ādhitya varnam. His body is having the effulgence of the sun. Ādhitya varnam tamasak parastā. He is beyond the material world. He is beyond this ignorance. Tamasak parastā. So, from the fifth verse till the ninth verse. So, what is Krishna telling? How to leave this body? The art of dying. There is a famous course of charity, the art of living. They want to teach only art of living. Because if they say, I want to teach you art of dying, nobody will attend the course. Nobody wants to die. But the point is, people are so foolish that they don't know, they are going to die. Whether they are going to live or not, there is no definite about it. There is no surety about our life. But the surety is there about death. But they don't want to attend the course on art of dying. Another illusion. There is no dirt of illusion in this world. Everybody wants, who doesn't want to learn art of living? Everybody wants to learn. But all the art of living will be forgotten at death. So you should learn how art of dying. First learn art of dying and then you can learn art of living. So art of dying is most important. That is why Krishna talks about art of dying. Now, starting from the 10th verse onwards, you have in the 8th chapter, 10th verse till the 13th verse, you have how to think of Krishna by the process of Ashtanga Yoga. Heard about Ashtanga Yoga anytime? Ashta means what? Eight. Art, Ashta. Anga means steps. So there is a process of yoga called Ashtanga Yoga. And the author of this Ashtanga Yoga is Patanjali. So there are so many yoga schools. On the billboard also you'll find modern yoga, the Kriya Yoga, Sudarshan Yoga, Hatha Yoga, and so many yogas. All these things are nothing but different parts or different levels of Ashtanga Yoga, written by Patanjali. They just take some aspect of it and then add their masala into it and then give it to you. That's called different forms of yoga which is being taught these days around. So, Krishna, he says, how to think of him by the process of Ashtanga Yoga in these verses, starting from the 9th verse onwards, the 10th verse onwards. Prayana kale manasa sirena bhaktya yoga yukto yoga balena ceva dhruvar madhye pranam avesham net satam paramam purusham priti divyam. So, sit on an asana which is not very high, not very low. Put kusadras, sit there, keep your body, neck and head straight. Concentrate, drawer madhye between your eyebrows, pranamave samme, concentrate there, and then do so many things. So all these explained here, 10th, 11th and 12th and 13th verse. And after doing all the yogic principles of thinking of Krishna, what you are supposed to do at the end, in the 13th verse, what is it then? Ovikke raksham brahma dhyanam manasvaran. What happens to that person? Who is a yogi? Who is practicing his yogi principles? What is he supposed to do? At the end, he is supposed to chant Om and think of Krishna praying. That is what he is supposed to do. So, there are two ways of doing thinking of Krishna. One is go to Himalayas, go to forest, grow beard, and then eat leaves, and do pranayama, pratyahara, and all these things, and do samadhi, and then chant over, and then think of Krishna and go. This is one way. The other way of sit peacefully, nicely, and have a nice, wonderful rasgulla, tulsi on top of it, which is offered to Krishna, and then put it on your tongue, and then say, Hare Krishna, and eat it. So there are two ways. It depends on what you want to accept, which is the easiest. What is easiest? Now, what is the thing which makes people to accept the difficult process? Tell me. If this is easy, but still people want to do that yoga, paying so much of money, but still, you know, they are not getting that real yoga. But still, why people want to go there? Why people want to go to the forest and do all kinds of yogic procedures? Why people want difficult process? What is there in a devotee which makes him accept the simple process? What is there in a non-devotee who tries to accept the process? It's very difficult. Anybody? Answer, any answer? Answer is very simple, I've already told you. Srila Prabhupada used to say, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, crooked for the crooked. If somebody is crooked, they would like to have crooked means. If somebody is very simple, then he will take up the simple means. As simple as that. So why people accept this yoga or the Ashtanga yoga? And ultimately they have to think of Krishna. Why they go through a whole hardship? Because they do not have this quality of simplicity which makes a person accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead and Lord of the world in some ways. People think that why Krishna is Supreme Lord? I should be the Lord. I will do by my own self. But the devotees, they surrender to Krishna. They have this mood to surrender to Krishna. That's the reason. That is why in the next few verses, that is 14th verse to the 16th verse, Krishna talks about how you can think of Krishna by performing devotional service. Ananya cheta asatatam yomam smarat nitya saha tasyam sulabha. You got this word sulabha. Sulabha means what?
Easy.
Tasyam sulabha. For whom it is very easy? It is easy for a devotee, for a person practicing Ashtanga yoga as described in the above three verses. Four verses. It is very difficult for them. That is what Krishna says. If he is saying here, this process is easy. Anna cheta adhatam yoga parthi. Tasyam sulabha partha nitya tasya yogina. For him it is very easy because he is a devotee. He remembers me with devotion. Past an engagement in devotional service. Maupetya punarjanma adukkala shashvatam napnuvanti mahatmana samsiddhim paramamrata. So such a person, he will never come back to this material world again, which is dukkhalayam ashashvatam, which is full of miseries. Napnuvanti mahatmana samsiddhim paramamrata. Once he has attained perfection, he will not come back again. Ah brahma bhrunal loke punaravartino arjuna maupetya adukkala punarjanma. Now Krishna further says that even though you may go to any planet in this world, we all know in this whole cosmology, we have 14 planetary systems. This Brahmanda, this material world, like a big anda, it's called Brahmanda. Anda means egg, it's like an egg. So in this Brahmanda, there are 14 planetary systems. 1, 2, like this. 14 planetary systems. And this earth is there on the 8th floor. 8th planetary system. So now people are trying to go to higher planets. Swarga, they are going to Tapaloka, Swargaloka, Janaloka, Mahaloka, even Brahmaloka. Krishna says even if you go to Brahmaloka, you have to come back again to this earth. But if you come to me, you don't have to go back to this material world. So that is how Krishna starts the topic of comparison between the spiritual world and the material world. Spiritual world and the material world. Starting from verse number 17 to 22. Actually, 16 is also a kind of comparison only. It is actually 16 to 22. You can make correction to the names. 16 to 22 is actually the topic we will discuss. So now he says there are two worlds. One is a spiritual world, another is a material world. What is the basic nature of the spiritual world and what is the basic nature of the material world? You go to any part of the material world, you are full of dukkhala and ashashvata. But spiritual world is called Vaikuntha. So what is the meaning of Vaikuntha? Vigadha Kunta means what? There is Kunta means difficulties. Vigadha Kunta means what? No difficulties. So this whole material world is full of so many difficulties. You go anywhere. Like these days people are thinking, oh, it's so difficult here in Bombay. Let me go to some other place. Let me go to America. I can be happy. But that is also full of difficulties. No, I think, no, Australia is a nice place. Let me go and settle there. I'll be very happy there. That is also full of difficulties. Within Bombay, people are thinking, oh, I got a flat here. Maybe I should get a flat in Andheri. Then I'll be happy. So people are trying to change places. What is what Krishna said? What to speak of changing societies and flats? Even if you go to Brahmaloka, the topmost planet, Dukkhale Rashashvata is what you are going to experience. And you will again come back to this miserable material world. Because everywhere there is miserable. Now if you come to me means going to the spiritual world, you don't have to come back. So that is a fundamental difference between the spiritual world and material world. And now Krishna starts speaking about this material world, how it is temporary. And he explains the whole of Kalpa, Pralaya, etc., etc., etc. And whole concept from verse 17, 18, 19, these three verses, they talk about Pralaya. How many of you heard this word Pralaya anytime? What is the meaning of Pralaya? Huh? End of yuga is pralaya. Okay, any more definitions? Anyone? You remember a few years back, the papers had declared that there is going to be pralaya today evening at some 4:30 or something like that. And on that day, it so happened I had to go out, I went there, and there was no traffic at all on the road. And the auto wala was driving. That is around 4 o'clock. He told Adhagante Pralaya Murai. And I was just laughing. I told him, nothing is going to happen. He told, oh, that is why nobody is there on the road. Everybody is. Then I told, oh, why if Pralaya comes, even though they are in their house, they will die. See, they think if there is a house, they will be safe. Suppose there is an earthquake. Okay, no, I will not go to office today because there is going to be earthquake. If earthquake is there, I will be going to die in your house also. So they think that if I am in the house, I am completely safe. Like it is as foolish as thinking if I go to the hospital, I will be saved from death. You will not be saved from death. If you are going to die, you have to die anywhere. That is actually called foolishness. If you really think even simple things, if you really think from, you don't require actually great intelligence for this. Simple intelligence is enough to understand all these things. How foolish people are thinking that I'm going to stay permanently in this world. So we'll just discuss about this word pralaya. Pralaya means a destruction. The first pralaya, there are actually four pralayas in the scriptures, describing the scriptures. The first pralaya is our death. When I die, everything is lost, everything is destroyed. The world is going on. Your house will go on, your children will live, your parents, all your friends, they will be going on, they will continue their life. Only they will cry for one day, 2 days, And after the third day, they will be fed up of crying. And the fourth day, only they cry when the relatives come. To show that I am suffering. And after the 11th day or the 12th day, every ceremony is over, there is again same life. TV goes on, they are in the parties, everything goes on. Normally, nothing. No change will be there. So, for you, everything is destroyed. So, that is first pralaya is what? Death. The second pralaya is at every manvantara. I hope I have explained the time science to you. One Kali Yuga is for this many years. Remember, everybody remembers that? Did I say this? Talk about time science in these classes? No? No? How long is one Kali Yuga? Four lakh 32,000 years is one Kali Yuga. We know four yugas are there. What are the four yugas? Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali. So, out of the Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali, the Kali Yuga is for how many years? 4,32,000 years. What is Treta Yuga for? Dwapara Yuga? 8,64,000 years. Double of it. Satya and Treta, Dwapara. Kali is double is Dwapara. That is it called Dwa. Dwa means two. And what is Treta Yuga? How long is it? 17 lakhs. No. Dwapara. Dwapara is 12,96,000 years. Three times Kali Yuga. That is called three. Treta means three. Treya. Treta Yuga. Three times. And what is the period of Satya Yuga? 17,28,000 years. 17,28,000. If you put all the four yugas together, then it becomes how much? 43,28,000 years. 43,20,000 years. It is just 1 + 2 + 3 + 4. How much it is? 10. So 4,23,000 years multiplied by 10. It becomes 43,20,000 years. Now, when this 43,20,000 years is multiplied by 71, so many years Indra lives, there is a Manu, this is called Manvantara. Manu is in charge of these many years. One Manu is in charge of these many years. So when after every cycle of Manu, that means 43,20,000 years multiplied by 71, there is a pralaya. The waters of the pralaya waters raise up to the level of Swarga. Then the Indra dies, Indra changes, all the major demigods, they all change. This is the second pralaya. At the level of Manvantara. Every Manvantara there is a pralaya, that is called second level of pralaya. Manvantara pralaya. 71. How does it 71 come? That's the thing. So we all know for one cycle, that is Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali, it takes 43,20,000 years. One cycle. And multiplied by 1,000 cycles, when it goes on for 1,000 times, that becomes one day of Brahma. What is one day of Brahma? 12 hours. So 12 hours of Brahma is 43,20,000 years multiplied by 1,000. And in one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. So each Manu gets around 71 cycles.
1000 divided by 14 becomes 71. So this is the second pralaya at the level of. And there is one more pralaya that is at the end of day of Brahma, that is these four yugas, these cycles, when it goes for 1000 cycles, that is the end of the day of Brahma. There is one more pralaya at the end of day of Brahma. At that time, Brahma and only his associates are alive. Little, intimate associates of Brahma are alive. All are completely devastated. And there is one more pralaya. When is it? The death of Brahma. That is 100 years of Brahma and it gets over. So everybody is clear about this? Any doubt, please do ask. If you are very clear about this concept of time science, Vedic science, time science, it is very easy to understand all the different subjects in the Puranas and the Vedic scriptures. Otherwise, it becomes very complicated. You just cannot understand. You are not able to comprehend what is this happening, what is there happening, time, that point, this point, this one. It's a huge thing. This is the Vedic time science is the fundamental knowledge which everybody should have. Otherwise, very difficult to really analyze and understand different stories in the Puranas. So, are you very much clear about it? Any questions? Please do ask.
Second pralaya.
So, you all know there is one cycle of Satya Trita Dwapar Kali. So, after 71 cycles, there is a change of Manu. So when the Manu changes, the Indra changes, and all the demigods under Indra's position, they are all changed. So that is also pralaya. At that level, the Garbhodara Sagara, the water raises up to the level of Swarga. Above Swarga, they are all there. But pralaya is only up to Swarga. First is death, the second is up to Swarga, the third is till Brahma, day of Brahma, and the fourth is end of Brahma. Simple. Death, change of Manu, Brahma's end of day, Brahma's end of life. Clear? Any more doubts? Very good. So here, especially that end of the day of Brahma's pralaya is described in these three verses. That is 17, 18, 19. At the beginning of the, if you see the 18th verse, it's very clear. See the 18th verse? Translation, at the beginning of Brahma's day, all living beings becomes manifest from the unmanifest state, and thereafter when the night falls, they are all merged into unmanifest again. So it's very clear, day of Brahma and night of Brahma. But Krishna says in the 20th verse, see, parastasmastu bhavyonyo vyakto vyakta sanadana ya sarveshu bhuteshu nasyasya vinashyati. So he's comparing the material world and the spiritual world. He says this material world is temporary. There are pralayas. Death is a pralaya. End of day of Brahma is pralaya. 71 yuga cycles is a pralaya. Ultimately, Brahma is going to die. What to speak of you? So this is dukkhalema shashvatam. But I am telling you, there is another place. Beyond this temporary manifestation of the material world, there is a place. Yah sarvesh bhutesh nasyasya na vinashyati. Even though there is pralayas, there are pralayas going on in the material world, but there is a spiritual world which is awesome. And there is no question of any destruction of the spiritual world.
Avyakto charity uttastamahu paramam gatim yam prapya nivrtante tad dhama paramam mama. That great dhama is so wonderful that once you reach there, you will not yam prapya nivrtante, you will not come back. The Vedanta is described as unmanifest and infallible. That which is known as supreme destination, is a supreme destination. So he is describing about the spiritual world in this verse. Purusha saparapata bhaktyala jyadananya yasyangastani bhutani yena sarvamidam atam. Says that the Supreme Personality God, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. All that is present in his abode, he is all pervading, and everything is situated within him. So how to attain the spiritual abode?
What is the process? By devotion. Now a question arises, how devotion is everything, how devotion is supreme. The supremacy of devotion is described in all these verses. 23rd verse till the 28th verse, all these verses are talking about devotion. The supremacy of devotion to all other processes. 23rd, 24th and the 25th verse, 26th verse, they all talk about the auspicious time of living. What is the auspicious time of living? Krishna says, Agnir Jyotir Ahashukla. Those who know the Supreme and attain the Supreme by passing away in this world, influence of fire god in the light, auspicious moment of the day, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, or during the 6 months when the sun travels towards north. So Krishna talks about different auspicious time of leaving the body and inauspicious time of leaving the body. But we are not going to go through all the details because it requires a lot of understanding of Jyotish. We are not going to go to that. See the 27th verse. Although devotees know the two paths, means the dark, going to the dark path, the inauspicious path of leaving the body, the auspicious path, Krishna says, O Arjuna, they are never dualed. Therefore, we always fix the devotion. A devotee is not dualed. He just has to do his job. What is his job? Chanting Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavad Gita, and then do some service to Krishna. By doing this, Krishna personally comes and delivers a devotee. Tesham aham samuddhartha mrutyu samsara sagara tvamina chiratartha mayavishchetasam. So always this question comes into the mind of the devotees that, okay, I am doing devotional service throughout my life to my best, but by chance if I don't remember Krishna at the time of death, what is going to happen? So there, we have to go back to go down to south, place called Kanchipuram. There, six instructions were given by Varadaraja Swami to Ramanuja Acharya. Among six instructions, one of the instruction is, even if one does not remember me at the time of death, if he has sincerely performed devotional service throughout his life, I will personally come and deliver him. That is what Krishna says. Such person, Desha, for those people, aham, I myself will come and deliver. So a devotee need not bother about what time he is going to leave the body, when should I leave, when should I not leave. No. Like what happened to Bhishma? Bhishma was waiting. For materialist people think that Bhishma was waiting for Makar Sankranti, because Makar Sankranti is auspicious day to leave the body. But Bhishma was not waiting for Makar Sankranti, because he had the varadan of Ichchamrutyu. He can die anytime. Whenever he wants, he can die. But Bhishma was waiting for Krishna to come. So when Krishna came, it so happened he came on Makar Sankranti. Actually, whenever Krishna comes, all the auspiciousness comes along with him. So, to bewilder all the materialistic people, Bhishma waited till Makar Sankranti. But actually, Bhishma was waiting for Krishna to come. So Krishna personally came and then delivered Vishnu. Antakalishvamya. Tesha maham samuttartha vrutyu samsara sangran. I personally come and deliver those people. That is what Krishna says. Now, if I take up devotional service, what about so many other things which is there in the Vedic scriptures, Dhatvrata, Distapa and Dasdana and all these things? Krishna says, don't worry. The summary of the whole 8th chapter is this, the last verse. Says, Vedesh Yajnesh Tavastu Chaiva Jnanesh Daanesh Punya Phalam Pratishtam Atyeh Tat Sarvamidam Viditva Yogi Param Sthana Uteiti Chaathyam. The yogi will attain, that means the devotee will attain everything what is mentioned in the scriptures, Vedic scriptures, Vedesh Yajneshu, all the yajna, phala of yajna, different kinds of yajnas, different kinds of charities, different kinds of vratas and tapas, fastings and all these things. A devotee need not do. Many people ask this question. Even we did a bow in the pose in Gandhi. The one lady came and asked, oh, then what is the use of doing all these tapas and vratas and all these things? And I told them, so you still people do because you are all foolish. If you have 100 rupee note, you are trying to get 20 rupees note, right? If you have 100 rupee note, you have already 20 rupee note, is there, everything is there. So no need to do that vrata, this tapa and all these things, is not required for devotee, because by performing devotional service, sarva karma pitahai, this is called faith. Faith means that Krishna bhakti correlates sarva karma pitahai. Krishna bhakti means if somebody performs devotional service to Krishna, and all, everything is automatically, everything is done, this is a faith. That is what Krishna says in this verse, that if somebody takes up devotional service, upeichadhyam. If somebody takes up this yogi, devotion to Krishna, this yogi, whatever is performed, mentioned in the various scriptures, everything is attained. By this way, he ends the 8th chapter. So now, we have some questions in the 8th chapter. Very simple questions are there. I'll just go through the questions and then I'll see. What are the 6 items in Arjuna's question? You all remember Brahman, Adhyajna, we have to memorize them, that's all. Answers also, you know, 6 terms, answer for this. Then, how should one prepare for death? The summary of all the verses from 5th verse to the 9th verse. Think of Krishna at the time of death, how to think if you don't think, all these things should be written there. Okay? Yoga Mishra Bhakti, and what about, write about Pratyahara. And what is Pratyahara? That is there in one of the verses. Anybody knows where it is? Which verse it is, Pratyahara? 12th verse. So I see the 12th verse. Do you have this answer for this Pratyahara? You have. Okay? Everybody got it? Pratyahara. Pure devotional service, what are the 5 rasas? The second time it's coming. This question. You note it, changes. We have it in the first chapter. Introduction also we have this. Write the duration of the 4 yugas. Sir, I already told 4,32,000 years, 8,64,000, 12,96,000, and 17,28,000. How should a devotee deal with the description of passing away from this world? Devotee need not be disturbed. Very simple answer. Even though there are different times, the dark region, the light region, and all these things are described, there is no question of any. Devotee need not be disturbed. Or, what about your presentations? Anybody is due for presentations? Okay, next week is what? Next Sunday, it's 25th. You want to have college or you want to go for road cleaning? What do you want to do? Want to go for road cleaning after the college or what? Yes, tell something. What should we do, manager sir? Ramakantru. I'm not able to get. What are you saying? Depends on the students. How many of you want to go and clean the roads? Oh, how many of you want to come to the college? Oh, that means I have to close down. Good. So we should go and then clean the road where Lord Jagannath Rath is going to go. 11 o'clock we are going to start this road cleaning activity. So we are giving groups and this whole Bhakti in the College English group will be cleaning from this whole road from Shagun Hotel till Shanti Nagar, that road. So all of you be ready. So this group in charge will be Ramakant Prabhu. So you should make sure everybody is attending that. It's not that attend no college or udhar bhi chutti dono jagah chutti nahi chalega. This whole group will go. Some Shagun Hotel. It's a separate group, but designated there. Both Hindi and English. So there's a group will be doing kirtan, there's a group will be doing the chadu. There's a group who will be lifting all of this thing. We're going to explain the whole thing Sunday this program. Any questions from the 8th chapter? 18th verse. What is that verse? Read the verse. Try. Read in English. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. That one. What is that 18th verse? Aharagame. So in these verses, starting from 18, what is your question? 18th verse. At the beginning of Brahmas, the all living entities becomes manifest from the unmanifest state, and thereafter, when the night falls, they emerge into the unmanifest again. I spoke about pralaya. So there is a pralaya at the end of day of Brahma. I told about four pralayas. One is death. Other one is end of day of Brahma. Every manvantara, 71 into this thing. Another one is end of day of Brahma. Another one is death of Brahma. Four pralayas. So here the third pralaya is being discussed. What is the third pralaya? End of day of Brahma. So end of day of Brahma means beginning of night. When the night falls, you see that? They merge into the unmanifest again. What is merging to unmanifest means? When the pralaya happens, what happens to all the living entities? They merge. Some people say they merge in the body of Brahma. It merges into the material energy of the Lord. We are all, as a soul, we all merge and become inactive state. Now we are all active state. I am able to speak because there is mouth, there are senses, this body. But when Brahma's night starts, nothing will be there. There will be souls which are in the unmanifest state. That is called pralaya. Again, when the day of Brahma starts, and all of us will occupy these different material positions, and again start performing karma. That is called pralaya. So it is nothing but description of pralaya, and again coming back into existence. What are the two paths?
Yeah.
One path is the time in which you leave the body, auspicious time, and go to the spiritual world. Another path is in an inauspicious time, you leave the body and go to hellish planets. You see, verse 26. According to the Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from this world. One in light, one in darkness. When one passes in light, he does not come back. When one passes in darkness, he returns. What is light? What is darkness? Shukla Paksha and Krishna Paksha. What is Shukla Paksha? Shukla Paksha means, so Shukla means what? Shukla means white, isn't it? So from Amavasya to Purnima is called Shukla Paksha because the moon is becoming whiter and whiter and whiter. Yes, has that concept. From Purnima to Amavasya is called Krishna Paksha. Why it is called Krishna Paksha? Because Krishna means dark. So the moon is becoming darker. In English we say the darker side of the moon and the light side of the moon. So these 15 days, Uttarayana, Dakshinayana, so many, but devotees are not bewildered, they don't bother. What is today, what is, and they just chant Hare Krishna. Nemita Smaranena Kala, there is no rules and regulations, and time restriction chanting.
These two parts are
night and darkness, Krishna Pakla and Sushma. Any more questions? 8th chapter. So next week we are all going to do the road cleaning. So please participate in that. And the next Sunday, following Sunday, it will be, what is the day?
Second.
So on second, who are going to do the presentation? Who is ready? Okay, you both will do the, which is your group? Okay, you will be to do the, and you are also going to do the presentation. Both of you are going to do the presentation on second, okay? Thank you for that. That's nice. So, okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Before you leave, take some Tirupati Prasada. Yeah, distribute everybody. You also have. Fix both of them and then you distribute everybody. What happened to Mandip?
93%.
93%? Peaceful. Overall? 87. Good. What is your rank in